From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then later on in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the chair of the Agricultural Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives is now saying there will not be a new farm bill in place by the year's end. And just as negotiations in Washington on farm legislation are stymied, so are the world trade talks as it relates to agriculture. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And along the way today, we'll talk again with Gary Schnitke about cash rents, this time how farmers may fare if they're continuing to pay really high cash rents for the 2014 growing season. And it all happens during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers for Wednesday afternoon as they arrived from the CME Group in Chicago for the soft red winter wheat, December, $6.47 down 6.5 cents. July at 6.63 and a half, that finished down 4 3/4. The hard red winter wheat at $7.09 and a quarter cents, down 2.5 cents. December corn at $4.25 and a half, 3.5 cents higher. The March at $4.36 and a half, 5 1/4 higher. And July at $4.51 and a half, up 4 3/4. September at $4.56 and a half, 4 1/4 higher. December corn $4.64 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. January beans, $13.29 and a half, 9 3/4 higher. The March up 7 3/4 at $13.12 and a quarter. And the May futures, $12.95 and 3/4, 8 1/2 cents higher. August, $12.59 and 3/4, up 6 3/4. November beans of next year at $11.63 and a half, up 5 3/4 for the day. Bean meal at $447.90, up $1.80. Bean oil at $20.24 higher for the day. December live cattle, $132.72 and a half, up 20 cents. February futures at $134.42 and a half, up 32 and a half. January feeders, $165 and a nickel, up 20 cents in the March, up a dime at $165.35. Lean hogs, December contract, $83.67 and a half, $1.15 lower. February at $89 even, 2.5 cents higher. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby January crude oil, $97.10 a barrel, $1.06 higher. RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, $2.71 and 3 cents, that's 9 cents of a cent lower. Ethanol futures at $2.48, 13 cents higher on the day. And natural gas at $3.96 and a tenth, that's 1.5 cents lower. Diesel fuel trading at $3.05 and 6 cents of a cent, down 8 cents of a cent. And gold futures at $1,247.40 an ounce, $26.10 higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.61. That's down 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see cloudy skies, isolated showers, a 61-degree high. Tonight, isolated showers and a low of 32. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of snow. That after 3 in the afternoon, mostly cloudy and a high of 34. A west-northwest wind tomorrow at 11 to 15. Thursday evening, a 40% chance of snow, cloudy and 23. North-northwest winds at 9 to 11. Friday, after a 23-degree low on Thursday night, we'll raise 3 degrees and top out at 26 with a 30% chance of snow, and then dip all the way down into the teens, actually 11 degrees on Friday night, partly cloudy, and a low again of 11 degrees. Saturday, a high of just 21 and clear. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 14. And Sunday, a chance of snow, cloudy and 28 degrees. Sunday evening, a chance of snow, cloudy of 21, partly sunny on Monday, back up to 28 degrees. And Monday night, into the single digits, mostly cloudy and a low of 9 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He, of course, is in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check the futures markets and how trade ensued for the day. Jackie Vakes is on the phone line from the Stuart Peterson office right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's not start in Chicago, but in Washington, D.C., where there was, as we'll hear a bit later in this program from Dave Dickey's newscast, an admittance that it's highly unlikely the farm bill will come to fruition at least before the end of this year.
Well, as disappointing as that is, I guess it's not surprising in some respects. I know that there's been some very heated discussions between the Corn and Soybean Association and Mr. Lucas, as well as with the cotton and rice associations, you know, and that seems to be the biggest problem that we're facing is that. In fact, they were talking, from what I understand, Corn and Soybean Association was talking about a possible two-year extension, and then the other side is coming back and saying, well, maybe we need to decouple from the current acreage formula that we use, but if they do that, that could cause world trade issues, and it's really becoming just an absolute mess, you know. The Dairy Producer Margin Protection Program is just in limbo right now, and the problem that we face if we don't get an extension on this farm bill is that we revert back to the original bill, and that could see milk go to $6. So something's got to give here one of these times, but I don't hold a lot of hope for it's finally being taken care of before the 13th of December either.
And just when you thought it was only the nutrition side that they were dealing with, we did have some hints, I suppose, of that in the last couple of months, certainly from our farm policy expert here on campus, talking about, well, you know, I think there might be other things behind the farm bill and its not movement and its non-movement at the moment. And lots of moving parts. We'll find out more as the end of the year comes nine, I guess. Economy. We had 215,000 new jobs in November.
Yeah, that was really, you know, that was higher than any of the guesses, and they actually revised October up to 183,000 from 143,000. So both of those are good-looking things. Now, of course, what happened immediately after that was the stock market got jittery, dropped below 16,000 because they're worried about the Fed starting to taper bond buying. And, you know, the U.S. dollar just can't make up its mind which way to go. If the, you know, if they do it, taper the bond buying, I would expect to see the stock or the dollar go higher, and that would be negative to us on the commodity side. But, you know, so I think you're also seeing some short covering coming into the commodity side because of the whole picture that the economy might be better and there's things that are going on. But we certainly have a lot of things that affect the bottom line price on commodities.
Indeed, we do. U.S. dollar, in fact, is one of those things. You talked often about the export market and the U.S. dollar and the impact it has.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you know, we have no problems if the U.S. dollar goes higher as long as the currencies in the countries that we ship to actually come right along with it. Then the exchange rate really doesn't change at all. But if that's not the case, and, you know, of course, we're looking at that in Argentina. Again, just last week we were talking how they finally said, oh, they're not going to do anything, and now today they're coming out saying we're going to tighten control on that currency. There's a big threat of devaluation. And what does that mean to us in the U.S.? Well, the farmers down there are sitting on $630 billion U.S. dollars worth of old crop beans. And I really think the bottom line underneath all of this is that the government is trying to force sales on those beans by always threatening here because they collect a large amount of tax off of that, and that generates a lot of cash to them. So for us, it basically threatens our, you know, our nearby bean price. They've got a huge crop going on in Brazil, which threatens our new crop bean price, and so we just can never become complacent. And we have tremendous demand here in the United States for beans, but them shoving all kinds of beans onto the market in a fire sale certainly wouldn't help us at all.
So what do we do then about the 9, 10, 8-cent rise that happened in the bean market today? Anything?
Well, I certainly think that we did see some farmers selling today, and we actually, I believe, saw some South Americans selling come in, too. You know, beans were really strong through the overnight and into the early session, and then when we came out with the Stats Canada information with a large number higher on wheat and higher on canola than anybody ever guessed, that really kind of took the flame out of beans. But, you know, I think when we have the USDA report coming out next week, Tuesday, Todd, and I think that one of the things that will be at the bottom of everybody on everybody's minds is, will we see an increase in bean demand? And I almost believe it has to be. We have 98% of the USDA's guests for the year sold already on export sales, and 46% of that shipped. And so, you know, granted, we can always have China cancellations. We do have some overriding Washington problems with China right now, too, because they are very angry over this, the fact that the U.S. seems to be siding with Japan on these islands that they're disputing in the East China Sea. And so you can never underestimate what kind of impact that might have. But, you know, it's you need to do something. They can't just sit back. Basis continues to be fairly good. And so I think, you know, if you look at the next size up or the next step up on January beans, we've got overhead resistance at that 1364 level. And if you look at bean basis being a negative 10 to 15 in a lot of places here in the U.S., I think 1350 cash will bring a lot of beans to market.
Hey, let's wrap it up. We'll talk about the corn, where we can discuss ethanol and livestock, exports, all those usage factors.
Yep. Well, we had a good sale again in Mexico today, a nice big export sale. Exports, we have 84% of the guests sold on that, but only 26% shipped. And, of course, we know that the market's nervous about China rejections. Ethanol use, right on pace, actually a little bit ahead of pace for the 4.9 billion usage, so that's a good thing. And we've got good margins in the ethanol industry. Livestock margins seem to be really good. You know, the biggest problem with livestock, that is putting on more weight because of cheaper corn. But when you look at March, I figure a range of 4 to 440 on March. Probably we had it close above the 20-day moving average today, which was very positive. Now, if we could maintain the weekly reversal that we have going right now, that certainly would put that 445 and three-quarter December-August low in sight for the March contract. So cross your fingers. Let's hope it works.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas yesterday, for the first time, publicly conceded that the Farm Bill Conference talks will likely roll into January. Lucas says, quote, "It is possible to have an understanding, a set of principles laid out, a text that the lawyers could work on with the economists to complete, so we'd be back next January to finish the final job." As of now, the House is set to adjourn for the year on December 13th, while the Senate would adjourn on December the 21st. Chances of a breakthrough in global trade negotiations dim today as India refused to budge on food subsidies that are an obstacle to an 11th-hour agreement at a World Trade Organization summit. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman says leaving Indonesia this week without an agreement would deal a debilitating blow to the WTO as a forum for multilateral negotiations. USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service shows U.S. poultry exports through the third quarter of 2013 continued at a record pace. From January through September, total U.S. poultry exports were 3.077 million metric tons. China has rejected more than 120,000 metric tons in shipments of U.S. corn after finding an unapproved genetically engineered strain. The insect-resistant MIR-162 strain was found in five batches by inspectors in three Chinese provinces. China asked the U.S. to tighten checks ahead of export. China has imported about 1.54 million tons of corn from the U.S. in the first 10 months of this year. Private analytical firm Informa Economics increased its expectations for Brazil's soybean crop to 88 million metric tons. Informa pegged Argentina's soybean production at 59.5 million metric tons. Informa pegged world soybean production at 289.7 million metric tons. That's up significantly from USDA's estimate of 283.5 million metric tons in November. USDA will release its next round of supply and demand estimates next Tuesday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Deb Dickey, Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke has written an article for the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu about high cash rents in comparison to the average cash rents across the state of Illinois and what it might mean for potential gains and losses in the coming year. Gary, thanks for being here. Tell me about your piece.
What we were doing in this FEFL was looking at the amount of funds that farmers would lose at high cash rent levels coming into 2014 and comparing that to average cash rent levels. So what we did was we took a $4.60 price for corn and an $11 price for soybeans and projected farmer returns under an average cash rent and a high cash rent, where the average cash rent is based on NAS numbers and the high cash rent is what's reported by professional farm managers.
Do you do that by county, or did you do it in a broad stroke across central Illinois?
We did it for four regions of Illinois: northern, central Illinois, and central Illinois high and low productivity, and then southern Illinois. The results were pretty consistent throughout that. Average cash rents, there's marginal returns next year, you know, $10 to $15 an acre at average cash rents. And when we get to higher cash rents, which according to our survey results are about $75 higher than the average cash rents, we see significant losses in the $50 to $100 an acre range.
I take it you did only corn, because cash rent on larger farms generally are only corn.
Well, we varied the rotation by the area of the state. So northern Illinois, we had two-thirds corn, one-third soybeans. Central is part of the state, two-thirds corn, one-third soybeans on the high productivity land, 50-50 on the low productivity land, and southern Illinois, a third corn, third soybeans, and a third wheat double crop.
Across the state, did any of those rotations make a difference?
You know, not really. As we look at about the returns, overall returns are lower in southern Illinois and for central Illinois low productivity land, but their cash rents are lower as well. So as you net those out, it comes out to be, you know, on that $5, $10, $15 an acre farmer return at an average cash rent.
1 year does not make a trend. It could make an anomaly. What did you look at further out?
Well, that's a good question. So we're thinking that $4.60 corn is a good price for 2014. Looking further out, I would suspect that low $4 corn would be persist for 2014, 2015, and in a while, unless we have another supply shock like a drought or something like that. Ethanol growth is stabilized, and we're at the point where we can produce pretty large crops with a large amount of acres.
Did you make a stab at what high cash rents could be sustained at for the coming year, rather than $75 above the current average cash price, something lower than that?
You know, our results would say that the average cash rent's probably about where the high should be now, and that we should begin to see those above average cash rents come down based on the revenue producing capabilities of that farmland. In the past several years, the farmland returns have been really pretty high because of $6 corn, and now we're moving back to $4.50 corn, which is $1.50 lower, and that on, you know, 200 bushel land is considerably less in revenue.
So let me see if I can't clarify that. You said that the average cash rent currently should become the high cash rent, and because you're using the high cash rents to develop the average cash rents, or USDA would be. Would that mean that you think that the average cash rent would be or could be $75 lower than it currently is?
Probably not as much that large of a decrease. Probably more in the range of, you know, $10 to $25 an acre would be a downward movement. And that would come from high cash rents coming down. But we still have quite a few cash rents that are significantly below average as well. So those likely will continue to move up, and those two will sort of counter each other. But, you know, an average that's $10, $15, $20 lower than it is currently would probably could happen if we have sustained prices in 450 for several years.
We're far enough into the fall. Does it appear that it is happening this year, too?
No, it doesn't appear like 2014 cash rents will be down. Overall, our indications would say that they're up slightly on an average basis, maybe $2 or $3, much less of an increase than has been in recent years, but still up, where we think decisions will begin to be harder to make will be at the end of 2014, in that 2014 rental decision, because at that point we'll have had solid year of 450 corn, unless we have some supply disruption, and then we'll see what cash rents do next bidding season.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, and part of the FarmDoc team. You can find more information on him and the upcoming Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Gary will be on the road along with all the ag economists, or many of them, from upstairs in Mumford Hall. I'll be there too. Those start the week of December 16th and make their way across the state. It's a really good way to find out what the ag econ team here at the University of Illinois is thinking about the farm economy, in particular about prices for crops and how things should work on your farm in terms of the economics. You can sign up today through the 9th of December. Visit our website at willag.org to find the information over on the right-hand side of the page in the Marketing Outlook panel schedule, or just visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org, on many radio stations, or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal, and we post programming there at about 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time, USA, each and every business day of the year. A bit of analysis, and either the opening numbers from the Open Outcry Pit or the closing numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. It's all part of the service at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
It's National Cookie Day. It's also St. Barbara Day, patron of brewers, hatters, sailors, and storms. On this day in agricultural history in 1812, the power mower was patented, the horse-drawn mower was granted before patents were numbered, and was lost in the Great Patent Office fire of 1836. In 1816, Benjamin Stillman was born, an American chemist. It was his reporting on the potential uses of crude oil products that gave impetus to plans for drilling the first U.S. producing oil well. In 1864, John Fowler died, an English engineer. He invented the steam hauled plow and several other special use plows. During a business trip to Ireland, he witnessed a famine which followed the failure of 2 years of potato crops. He returned to England determined to use steam power to drain land. The result was his mull drainage plow, shown at the Great Exhibition of 1851. In 1867, National Grange was founded. It was the first organized agricultural movement in the U.S. and tasked with uniting private citizens in improving the economic and social position of the nation's farm population. And in 1970, Cesar Chavez was jailed in California for refusing to cancel a United Farm Workers lettuce boycott. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner, as always, joins us at World Weather Incorporated. Drew, thanks so much for being along. Hey, I'm looking again, and every time I talk to you, it seems like I'm saying, hey, it's going to get really cold. And apparently this time it is really going to get cold.
Yeah, you know, it keeps pushing that limit just a little bit more. Be thankful that you're not in the northern plains. I think that that little area in the U.S., the Dakotas and Montana, and even for that matter parts of Minnesota, is definitely going to be faced with some extremely cold conditions. So over the period from Thursday into Saturday, we're probably going to see extreme low temperatures and in the heart of the negative 30s. That's something we don't talk about much in this country, and I'm talking Fahrenheit here. It is going to be downright nippy. Some of the cold air will work its way eastward across the Mississippi, but we won't see nearly as much cold air on the east side of the Mississippi River as we'll see in the western Corn Belt and the plains. The air mass is an Arctic air mass. It's going to not be able to move any further to the southeast without losing some of its intensity. So I don't want to imply it's going to stay balmy in the eastern Midwest, but the cooling that occurs will bring our temperatures back down to some teens and some 20s for lows as we get into the late week and weekend. But I don't think we get a whole lot colder than that. What we have to worry about in the lower eastern Midwest, I think, is probably the precipitation pattern that's going to evolve as the cold air and the warm air set up in a contrasting pattern and does so right across the heart of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. So we're going to see some precipitation begin to develop across parts of the region. Initially, it's not going to be much of anything, but a few scattered showers will occur as we go through the afternoon today and on into the evening. It's not going to be very significant, but a little bit later in the week, probably sometime Thursday night, Friday, there'll be a more generalized rain event that will occur from parts of northeastern Texas into Ohio. There will be a band of some snow and freezing rain just to the north of the heart of that precipitation event, and there'll be a second wave of energy that will move along that same region a little bit later on Saturday. Yet another disturbance will come across the same corridor as we finish out the weekend and move into early next week, with some of that cold air becoming more entrained, and so we'll see a better chance for snow across some of the area from Missouri and Iowa into Wisconsin and parts of Michigan. So winter is knocking on the door, and it's going to push pretty hard into the region by the time we finish out the first half of next week.
I'm ready to go south now. Let's go to South America, where they're in the midst of their growing season. Tell me about it, please.
Well, certainly it looks like they've got no problem right now. Continued timely rains are occurring across Brazil and Argentina, for that matter. They've done a very aggressive job getting their crops in the ground. They still have a ways to go. There's a few pockets that are drying out in southern Brazil, but all the computer forecast models say that that's going to go away and it's going to rain. And in Argentina, only the southernmost portions of the country, probably southern Buenos Aires and southern La Pampa, are going to have a little dryness for about a week, and then they will also end up with some precipitation. So you put it all together, and you can't find fault for the crops right now, and we'll just wait and see what happens. I think a little later in December, in January, we'll find some drier and warmer conditions occurring down there that might give us a little short-term scare.
Thank you so much, Drew, for taking the time with us.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can always find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.